Well, since it's Christmas, I thought I'd start with a slightly different style. One of my party tricks is, one of my misspent youth things was that I was brilliant at darts. And this morning, I've got this balloon, right? And I've got a dart. Uh-oh. Don't worry, don't panic. Health and safety are all panicking over there. Yeah, you've done the risk assessment. Who thinks if I put it on that chair over there, I'd be able to hit it from here? Put your hands up. There's quite a few. Some say never, I heard. Good number. Keep your hands up. Okay, great. Actually, I'm going to make it more interesting. If I was to get somebody to hold it, who do you think, who thinks I'd be able to hit it? Oh, the numbers have gone down somewhat. The numbers have gone down somewhat. There's still some hands up. Good, great. Okay, let's make it more interesting. If I got somebody to hold it in their teeth, who still thinks I would be able to hit it? Mike, you're a brave man. Who else? Anybody else? There are a number of hands up. Oh, there's hands going up everywhere. Yummy, come up. Let's do this. Right, before we do this, Yummy, I'm afraid you have to sign a disclaimer because Henry insisted on it. Just so if you just sign up for me there. I was very good at darts, so don't worry. That's perfect. Thank you very much. Right, where are you going? Come back here. So if you just go behind the keyboard there, put it in your teeth. Kids, not too close, please. Yeah, not too far away. That'd be fine. Are we ready for this? Can you just turn your body a bit more to... No, the other way. That's it. It's a bit safer. Are we ready? To count me into three, okay? One, two... No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not good at darts. There we go. Henry has actually had a cardiac arrest over here. So if you could pray for him afterwards, that'd be great. But not during the talk. Right, so before we start, Andrew's going to come up and do a reading for me. Now that I've frightened everybody. You just turn it from there. Yes.
Okay, I don't quite know how to follow that, so I'm not going to. Mark 5, the reading is taken from, and it's from verse 21. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little girl, my little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, but instead of getting better, she was actually getting worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she felt, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet, how can you ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who'd done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. After he put them all out of the room, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was about 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. See, we're true Anglicans there, aren't we? Great. So, Christmas is over now. Who enjoyed Christmas? Yeah. Great. Who's looking forward to the new year? Who's thinking of doing New Year's resolutions? Ooh. Oh, there's one very clear one at the back there. I'm personally thinking about New Year's resolutions, and I'm just thinking, what's on God's heart for us this year? As we go into 2020, what is on God's heart? And I was given the rare opportunity of actually being able to speak on whatever I wanted to speak on this week. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to really pray about this. And as I prayed about it, I felt God speak to me about this verse that we just heard. And it was simply that, to just believe. You see, I believe God is wanting to use us mightily, and he's started to move in us this year. But I think there's so much more to come. I have a sense that God really wants to move in this church, in this neighborhood. And God's cry for us is, will you just believe? Will you just believe? Now, to me, that sounds a bit weird because just believe is like, what's that? I mean, some of the translations say only believe. That's the only thing you need. And yet we know that God is the one that gives us that belief, that faith. So we actually have to ask God to actually give us that faith for what he's about to do. And as we're going into 2020 and we're thinking about New Year's resolutions, maybe it's something we need to be praying about, whether we say, Lord, my resolution is to seek after your heart, to pursue you for faith, for belief of what's about to come. And I believe if we do that, we will start to see God doing some really exciting things. You see, belief, that word belief is actually, it could also be used to have faith. But it's like when we had that example earlier, loads of you put your hands up about me hitting the balloon. The numbers dwindled when there was a cost involved. They started to dwindle. When you actually had to put yourself on the line, potentially, and I could see by your faces, you were starting to go, oh, hang on, this isn't going to go well. It suddenly went, oh, hang on. And when you look at Jesus in this illustration of the reading we had, there's loads of people giving him a hard time. And yet he was steadfast in his belief. He knew what the Father was saying. And there was nothing that was going to shake him from that belief. He had it totally clear. This was what's going to happen. That daughter, that child is going to be raised from the dead. There's nothing that's going to change that. It doesn't matter that they're all laughing at me. It doesn't matter that she's already dead. It doesn't matter. Anything doesn't matter. What matters is that God has said to me, this is what's going to happen. And so despite all that fear, all that laughter, all that scoffing from the people, he went with a headlong, pure thought of this is what God's saying. This is what I'm seeing God's doing. And I'm going to just go along with that. And I'm going to go with it. And then to make it even worse, he doesn't do CPR on this girl. He just speaks to her because that's what God told him to do. He doesn't do CPR, which would be my natural disposition, wouldn't it? You know, just try to get this guy, you know. But no, he just says, speak to her. He says, little girl, get up. Because he knew that's exactly what the Father was doing. And when you look at the word belief in the dictionary, it says to have confidence or faith in the truth of a positive assertion, story, etc., or to have confidence in assertions of a person. You see, we see in the Bible Jesus who was able to do amazing things. And God is calling us to have belief in that person. Belief that is unshakable. Despite what anyone else says to us outside out of this church, it's unshakable. And that we will pursue that heart to see what God wants to do. You see, I think we're supposed to be like little children. And this little child was on a commercial, and I just think it's a brilliant illustration of faith. Let's watch it now. I can see everybody's reaction of, like, I would have run for the trees. And so would I. And I certainly wouldn't have been one of those that would put myself out to have that dart thrown at me. Yomi actually said to me afterwards, he said, that was really scary. And I was just like, yeah. I did warn him, actually. He was primed. He knew it was all going to happen. I told him it was safe. But he believed me when I said it will be all right. When he came up, he didn't know that I was going to not throw that dart. Did you? No. He's looking very nervous still at the back there. And we need to be like that little child who's just, despite whatever's coming at us, she's standing firm. Now, in some ways, that's folly because she just doesn't know what's going to happen. But if God tells us it's going to be okay, I'm with you, I'm going to keep you safe, then we have that confidence just to stand whatever comes at us. And we have that ability to go, it's going to be okay, whatever happens. Who's heard of a man called Charles Blondin? A number of you. The trapeze artist, yeah. And in 1883, he did one of the most death-defying acts that have ever happened on this planet. And what he did was put a tightrope over Niagara Falls and walked it. Crazy, huh? I mean, I literally, as I've been preparing this talk, I've had vertigo just even thinking about this episode. Quite honestly. Let's just make that a little bit of a close-up. This is a picture of him doing it. He was crazy, but he had confidence. He had faith in his skills, if you like. He went even further than that. He actually started to do crazy things like cook his food out on the tightrope. He ate his food on the tightrope. He did headstands on the tightrope. Crazy, crazy things, right? And people came along and paid 3 pence, which were, in 1883 was a lot of money, to watch him. And then one day he just turned around and said, actually, I'm going to do it differently now. Who's going to ride on my back? And one person put his hands up. Now, allegedly, it was his manager. But we don't know for sure. And literally rode on his back across Niagara Falls. Now, allegedly as well, there was a point where he literally had to get down because Blondin was too tired to carry on for a bit. He had to have a bit of a rest in between. How frightening is that? And just to have a wider view, to see the two of them doing this act on Niagara Falls. Do you think you could have done that on your own? I know, I certainly couldn't. I probably wouldn't make the first step. But you know, I think that's a perfect illustration of what we, the church, can do when we ride on Jesus' back. When Jesus says, look at all the amazing things I've done, far more than just eat my dinner on a tightrope. Look at the amazing things I've done, not just in the Bible, but since history has recorded for the last 2,000 years. Jesus has done so many things. And he says, jump on my back. Jump on my back and let's do it together. And as we step on his back, there's this propensity for us, and this is what James often talks about in his letter. It says, so you're still trying to do it in your own strength, and there's a propensity for us to ride for a little bit and then go, do you know what, I'll do it myself now, thanks Jesus. How foolish is that to get off on a tightrope and do it yourself? But no. The best way is to ride on Jesus' back. Because he is able to do immeasurably more than you can hope or imagine. And he can take this church and make it mighty. Not because of who we are, but because we're riding on Jesus' back. So as we go into 2020, let's start just praying for God just to give us that faith to just go out on an adventure with him. Some of us may have already been doing this, but let's ask for greater levels of adventure. Let's sharpen each other up. Let's be like iron sharpens iron. Let's just really just strive for pushing ourselves beyond our own boundaries where God can start doing things. And I believe as we do that, we will have the best adventure in our lives. And we will see God move. Let's pray.